It was maybe 1.5 times as long as this temple room. We had two very nice altar, and then we displayed the lotus feet of the Lord in these beautiful oval-shaped frames to the devotees. And we started the Nam Yakya in a very, I would say, moving way. Many devotees started to cry. There were 20 parents of devotees who died in the last 2 to 3 months. It seemed to have been like a wave of deaths brought about maybe by the climatic changes. It's now, they're in the midst of the spring. We dedicated, we read a list of the names, and I mean, everyone knew these people. Danuda Prabhu lost in one week, both his father and the second wife of his father, stepmother, we say, not biological mother, but stepmother, in 1 week, and he was present at both of their passings. Shishi Gauri Tai Ki Jai. We told them, we read them this, and I saw everyone, many devotees started to cry, and everyone was in a very depressed mood, and that's not how you want to start a Nam Yakya. I decided to tell them a story from the Puranas about the glories of the Holy Name, and I would like to tell this also today to you. But I can see the text is already written down. Is this correct? I can't see so well. Yes. Let me see if it fits. Can you please tell me the text? 16:11. You need a new Bhagavad Gita, my dear devotees, in English. 16. We have our devotees from Radha Desh here. They could have. Do you have a Bhagavad Gita from? I will pay it and donate it for the Zagreb temple. what, please? 11. Dobro. It fits the subject matter which is discussed here. But I wanted to tell you the Nam Yagya was just wonderful. The sun was setting over the Donau. The boat was tilting to the rhythm of the Holy Name. Then the sky became red. And then it seemed to all of us that Krishna appeared on that boat. It was just a very Krishna-conscious moment where devotees were very moved. I had requested that we will invite mostly practicing devotees for the Nam Yagya and for the Sunday feast, the public. I had separated the two audiences, because I felt it is maybe a little bit, yes, difficult for newcomers to just sit for a few hours and only chant the Maha Mantra. So when devotees come together and they can just express themselves. It's very potent and very powerful. Oh, what's so powerful? Krishna. Yes, it changed. It changed my heart at least a little bit more. We are now making preparations in Belgrade to participate in the biggest South European festival. It's called the Exit Festival. Have you heard about this in Novi Sad? It attracts a few hundred thousand people. You seem to have heard about it, yeah? And we are trying to come on the main stage. I have half a disciple. She is called, in the world, she's called Jairadhe. Her worldly name is Nina Hagen. Maybe you have heard about her. It's a famous singer. And she could come on the stage and invite devotees, and then we could chant and spread the holy name for a few hundred thousand people. That would be very nice. So I'm trying to send her there. We can't go, we are not famous enough to go on the stage, unfortunately. So we will go in some way. Hare Krishna. Jelena, you are like Narada Muni. And Vishnu is also from Split. From Belgrade. Amazing. So good. Okay. So your world traveler is now with you again. Let us chant now and concentrate our attention on the words of the scripture. Then I will request our translator, Pavle. Jai Radhe. We just spoke about another Jai Radhe. You have come with your daughter. Thank you. Our translator, Pavle, could you be so kind to translate or read the text for everyone in Croatian? Maybe you can please come here and then you use my microphone. Or Narada, Devashi Narada, can we give him a microphone there? Okay, so you can remain there.
Prijevod. Oni vjeruju da je glavna potreba ljudske civilizacije zadovoljavanje osjetila, tako do kraja života osjećaju neizmjernu tjeskobu, zaplivši se u mrežu stotina tisuća želja, obuzeti požudom i srđbom, nezakonitim sredstvima zgrču novac kako bi zadovoljili osjetila.
Thank you very much, but you have to speak slower and a little bit, it's called an inflection, you know, the voice must move so that we can hear from you with great excitement, yes.
Smisao.
No. I'm sorry.
Okay. Acknowledge. Demonski ljudi smatraju da je osjetilno uživanje krajnji cilj života. I to shvaćanje zadržavaju sve do smrti. Ne vjeruju u život nakon smrti, niti vjeruju da se razna tijela dobivaju prema karmi, dijelima počinjenim u ovom svijetu. Njihovi se životni planovi nikada ne ostvaruju do kraja. I tako nastavljaju smišljati planove koje se nikada neće ostvariti. Imamo vlastito iskustvo o osobi takvog demonskog mentaliteta, koja je čak i u trenutku smrti tražila od liječnika da joj produži život za 4 godine, jer još nije ostvarila svoje planove. Takvi budalasti ljudi ne znaju da im liječnik ne može produžiti život čak ni za trenutak. Kad dođe kraj, čovjekova želja ne igra ulogu. Zakoni prirode mu ne dopuštaju da uživa ni sekundu duže od onoga što mu je suđeno. Demonska osoba koja ne vjeruje Boga ili nadu dušu u sebi, čini svakojaka grešna djela, samo da bi zadovoljila osjetila. Ona ne zna da u njezinom srcu postoji svjedok. Nadduša promatra djelatnosti individualne duše, kao što je rečeno u Upanišadama, dvije ptice sjede na jednom drvetu. Jedna djeluje i uživa ili ispašta plodove s grana, a druga samo promatra. Ali demonska osoba ne pozna vjerske spise, niti ima ikakvu vjeru, zato misli da može počiniti bilo kakvo djelo radi osjetilnog uživanja bez obzira na posljedice.
Thank you very much. But we did not chant Jaya Radha Madhava. So we would sing now. I must tell you very honestly, I'm getting old. I forget so many things, and especially when I come from a car drive, then it's the air inside the body, which is called Vata in Sanskrit. It's a subtle aspect of air, which is moving the thoughts usually, is becoming a little bit overly active, and then you're always a little bit too fast, so please excuse me. And please know, Sachinanda Swami is becoming old. This is a sign. So please let us sing. Anything? And you are a genius. The verse which we heard today was describing the demoniac mentality. A mentality which is based on ignorance of the spiritual existence. It is said when the soul becomes Krishna Bahir Mukha, that is, when the soul turns his face away from the Lord, he has a similar experience as someone who turns away from light. The moment you turn away from the sun, you look into the darkness. The same happens when you turn away from Krishna. You turn your head towards ignorance and forgetfulness. Krishna Bahir Mukha. Bahir means, Mukha means face. Bahir means to the external world. A devotee in Krishna consciousness can also turn his face away from Krishna. He may not immediately experience at that time total ignorance, you know, like totally forgetting that he is a soul. But what he will immediately experience, or she will immediately experience, is anxiety. The moment a devotee turns away his face from Krishna, he is full of worries or anxieties. So immediately you can feel it. Poor Krishna. And only when you learn to face again, or turn your face again towards Krishna, will these worries and anxieties which eat away your very enthusiasm go away. So it is described when the soul turns away from Krishna, he becomes, this is a Sanskrit word, Maya Avarni. Maya Avarni means he becomes covered by Maya, or by the darkness of ignorance. And this covering of one's spiritual knowledge manifests in one particular psychology, which I believe many of us are familiar with. It's Dehatma Buddhi. It's an intelligence, but this intelligence is only fixed on the physical existence, our material life, and how to arrange it. We totally become, in other words, involved when we turn away from Krishna in mundane life and in physical existence, because we identify with the body and not with the soul. The next result is that we are overwhelmed by physical or material desires, karma, and when it's just too much for us, all these material desires, and especially these unfulfilled and most probably unfulfillable desires, then we say, enough of this world, moksha, I want just freedom from it. Hare Krishna. So, in today's verse, we heard about this type of thinking where you think really everything stops with the end of the material body. It's really a result, this type of thinking, of turning your face away from Krishna. Krishna talks about this a little bit earlier in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I would like to read to you these two verses which have always fascinated me. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit, that means end his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of material nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. We have two translations. Is one not sufficient? One is, the daughter translation is maybe a little more familiar. Family translation. So you want a family translation. All right, then we have a family translation. No problem. I'm just trying to understand. So then the next verse talks about this. The endeavoring transcendentalists who are situated in self-realization can see all this clearly. But those whose minds are not developed and who are not situated in self-realization cannot see what is taking place, though they may try to. What can the transcendentalist see? He looks at your body and he knows you, the eternal soul, received this body or this physical existence in order to learn a very particular lesson. A lesson which you have most probably not learned in your previous existence. Some transcendentalists can look at your litze, and they can say, in your previous life, you were doing such and such, and you have come back again to learn such and such in this lesson. This is possible. As you advance in spiritual life and you become more aware of not being the body, it will also become more and more clear to you what exactly you have to do in this life, why you had to take your birth again. This is called dharma, your dharma, your purpose, your essential project will become revealed to you. Or if it is not revealed, it will become self-revealed to you. In other words, it becomes clear to you by the mercy of the super soul who was with you in your previous life and who then makes it very clear to you, I should learn this. And if the super soul prefers to remain silent because he may feel that you will not be able to listen very or hear very clearly his message, then your spiritual master will tell this to you. Your purpose, or you have to do this. In either case, either by the mercy of the super soul or by the mercy of the spiritual master, it will become clear to you what is your purpose in this life. I want to encourage you to be open for this knowledge, to be interested for this knowledge, to find out really, why am I here? What has Krishna in mind for me? What is, as Prabhupada would sometimes say to us, the Brahma plan. Brahma means, in this connection, the Lord's plan, who is the supreme or para Brahman. What is there for you? What is waiting for you? If you enter into a very into a relationship with the Lord in the heart, where you pray to Krishna in the heart, please make clear to me what is my purpose. Or if you enter into a relationship with your spiritual master by requesting him, kindly accept my service and kindly accept me as clay in your hands, which can be formed and molded for the satisfaction of the Lord. Huh? Then this will become clear. But I always want to say to you this, to understand our dharma is really a mercy. And as long as we don't have understood it, we will always be a little dissatisfied and a little bit, I would say, usmiriren? Usneminiren. Oh, Krishna, it's a little bit. I will learn it because it's such an important verse for Croatia, this word. We will always be a little dissatisfied and not quite there in our lives. It's important that we open our heart so that we at least try to want to know this. See, this is very, very clear to someone who is at the helping some another person to pass to the other side. In other words, to go through the gate of death. It's just so obvious. We are not the material body, but we have the material body for a certain purpose, to learn something in this life. And I was talking to this one devotee whose father and stepmother died within 1 week. Imagine what a difficult situation this could be, to see your own father and stepmother die within a couple of days. It's almost traumatic. And so I wanted to make sure that this devotee is, you know, that everything is all right and he doesn't suffer a trauma or something in his life. And I requested him, let us speak about this. Let us speak. Please tell me how it was when your father left the body. I knew that he loved his father very much. And so did his father love him. And he told me that it was, that he was at first not sure if he would be able to tolerate it. Today I also visited a dying person, and before I entered the room I had to brace myself. To brace oneself means to take courage, build up courage. It's not easy. So this devotee said, turned to me and said, Maharaj, I'm so grateful to have seen this. When my father was about to leave the body, I was praying to Krishna, and all of a sudden I got the strength which I needed to have, and I placed the Shalagram Shila on his head, and I encouraged him to now please think of the Lord and let go his remaining attachments to the material body and the material world. And he said, at that time, when my father left the body with the Lord on his head and trying to think of Krishna, it was such a beautiful moment that I was so grateful to be present there. I could actually feel how the soul, the eternal soul, left the material body. It was so clear. And when the soul was out, immediately the body became lifeless. And I understood that I have no relationship to this body any longer. And I never really had. I had the relationship to the person within, the soul. But then he said, Maharaj, I have one deep problem. And he looked around in the room, if someone were there. I said, would you like that everyone go, that we go in a room where you are not, I mean, where we're just alone? And he said, Maharaj, yes. So we got up and there was only one other person. We requested him, please, it's time to eat prasadam now. So then the devotee looked around and he said, I don't know. Please don't think I'm crazy, but I know my father is still here. Then I said, what are you, how long is it back that your father left? 9 days. You mean he's still here? What, could you explain? Yes, he's around. He's visiting me. I said, I'm writing a book, there is no death, so I know about these things. I said, there must be something you do to keep him here. He said, what? There's something you do to keep him here. What are you doing? He said, well, I'm very attached to my father. Yes, I know, I can see this, and he's attached to you, but are you maybe offering food to your father? Yes, every day I'm giving him the Mahaprasad. No, bro, I said, the idea, we found it. The idea is good. You want to do something to your father, but do you realize that if you do not let him go now and just always eat this, oh tats, oh eat this, oh eat this to his picture, by your love and affection, you're actually binding him to this, to that existence which he was forced to give up. Let go of him, let go. You do this either on the fourth, after 4 days or 7 days. But then you allow him to go. What should I do? According to the scriptures, you should go now into the forest, you should cry, say goodbye, and say you will, you wish him all the best to continue. This is my recommendation. You please think about it. And if it makes any sense to you, please do so. If it does not make any sense to you, you do what you wish to do. And the devotee thanked me, and he did this, and he said, oh, now it's good. Now he also was thankful to go. I have the same experience with my, how do we say grandfather? I know grandmother means baka, but diet, with my diet. He also stayed on it. I had to say goodbye to him. He felt very relieved. He felt very relieved. So these are some things I thought it's maybe nice for you to share, which just happened a few days ago, things which make you understand how each one of us is an eternal soul, and we have a certain purpose to fulfill. We are passing through this life. And especially as devotees of Lord Krishna, our purpose is to become lovers of the Lord. We try to become lovers of Krishna, or develop love for Krishna, by starting this service under the guidance of our spiritual master. And as we are serving, then more and more the lubav, the love for Krishna, will arise in the heart. This is our purpose. This is why we have taken this birth, and why we have come to this life. It's our spiritual purpose. There's another purpose we have to do, another dharma, that is what we do on the human level. I've spoken earlier about it in a lecture when I was just your guest in Zagreb. I have given you some tips how to find out what you can do on the physical level, asking a few questions relating to your nature. What visible, perceivable nature do you have? But I want to now talk about our spiritual purpose, because I feel as a traveling preacher, that's my strength to talk about this. How will you ever love Krishna? Have you ever thought about this? It's not such an easy answer which we can give, because unfortunately, because we are in this material existence, Krishna seems to be a little remote. Remote means in the far distance. He's in the far distance. I had one devotee asked me a very, very good question, I thought. The devotee asked me, how can we love a person whom we don't really see, whom we don't really feel, of whom we really don't know so much except for what we have heard others saying about him? How can we develop love? I think it is a good question, isn't it, Gopeshwari? It's a good question. We should be bold enough to face this question. We have only heard about Krishna. We have sometimes experienced something which we believe is his mercy, but maybe it's just the circumstances. I'm now playing what is called in English the devil's advocate. We say Krishna's milost when we find a parking place in rush hour in Zagreb center. But maybe is it really Krishna's milost? Some Kamis also find a parking place in the rush hour, not just devotees. It could be just that the person who, you know, the person had finished his purchase, his shopping, and now he goes in the car and drives home. Is this really, why bring in God here? Devotees say, wow, we got the parking place. Krishna's milas. Really? And all the other things to which you say Krishna's milas. You may say, oh, I married such a nice woman. This is Krishna's mercy. Or I married such a nice mush. This is Krishna's mercy. Maybe it's your karma. It said, Chanaka Pandit, Kaje, four things are sure at the time of birth, that's the time of your death. The amount of happiness and distress which you get, whether or not you marry and whom you marry. Hare Krishna. Not Krishna's milas. I want to provoke you a little bit. I'm feeling already very bad, you know. But you know, let us dare to think a little bit. So, do we really have an experience of Krishna? Or is it karma or accidents or other things, you know? So how do we develop love for Krishna? How is it possible? Barbara, this is a very good question. We must ask this question. Gorane, this is an important question. I would like to give an answer of which Srila Prabhupada often gave to people who doubted the existence of God. He would very often use an argument which is a very palatable to our Western thinking, which thinks in logical patterns. He would give the same argument, really, which Augustinus, not Aristotle's gave. It's called the argument by order. To make it very brief is, he would say, look at the world and you will see it works by laws. Who is the lawgiver? He would give examples which people understand, like the wristwatch. You see it moves around, it gives the time, and you know it does not work by an explosion. Someone came there, designed it, put it together, and so on. A person whom we may not see at this present moment, but still we know there must be a person. So Prabhupada would give several arguments in this line. If you think clearly, there must be a person behind it. He would also use Krishna's arguments in the Gita by saying, I'm, you know, the essential principle of everything. I'm that which moves the reality. I'm the taste and water, the ability and man, the sound and ether, and so on. You are all devotees. I don't want to talk about this like I have a beginner's class now before me in spiritual life. But I don't think I have to prove to you that there is a God now. I mean, otherwise you wouldn't sit here if you don't believe it. What I want to now get at is to develop love for this person. Still, this thing, arguments which we can give, don't bring necessarily a closeness to this person, which is close enough to speak of the awakening of love. Now the Vedic scriptures give a very, very nice logic. they say, by service to this, to the Lord, whom we assume by our intelligence that he is there, a relationship will develop. And only when a relationship develops can you speak of the awakening of love. And he gave, Prabhupada gave us the example of a Vedic marriage. You know, in the young age, the girl would be married to a young boy. She is maybe 4 years old, and he is 6 years old. Hare Krishna. Then after some time, they would associate. You know, boys and girls before puberty, they don't think like grown-up people about boys and girls. Boys think girls are useless. They always cry. They are glupasti. And girls think the boys are so groovy. Which fool would associate with a boy? Let's stay together, girls. You know. Then the puberty comes, pang, and everything changes. And deep attractions begin to our young girl is present with us. She has gone through puberty. She has. So you know what I'm talking about. Yes, this is natural. It happens. So in old times, they would be married quite young, and they would not associate at this level. But then, after some time, very carefully the parents would say to the girl, you bring him a few Sundays. You know, and then the boy, when he was a little older, the girl would come and would give Sundays, and all of a sudden, by this service, some feelings would awaken. Or you wash his clothes. And then now and the girl, by doing service to the husband, the future husband, maybe 16-year-old husband, would develop, toy my moosh. No, toy? That's my moosh. I have a moosh. And some feelings would come, and then this deep affection would come, which would be so great. Imagine this now, that when the husband would die, the woman would say, the fire of separation from you, my dear husband, is so hot that in comparison, the fire of self-immolation, self-immolation means if I burn myself, is cooling. I need now some coolness because the fire of separation from you is, this means Lubov. We can't understand, especially not in the sannyas ashram. But this would be the feelings, which would awaken by this thing of service. So you can only approach God in one rasa when you begin your spiritual life, in one relationship. And that rasa must be seva, service. I'm saying this because this is Sanatan Dharma, our eternal purpose in this life. And I would now like to make this a little bit more concrete. See, we have by Krishna's mercy now a wonderful temple, and most of you, or at least many of you, were able to celebrate with us the wonderful Gaur Purnima festival. This temple is, for most of us, a place of pilgrimage where we can feel the divine atmosphere of which is created by the regular worship of Guru and Gauranga. It's a wonderful place where we can feel our Shraddha, our faith, gets fresh nourishment. The Christians have their churches, the Muslims their jamias. We have our temples. It's very important for our Shraddha to grow and to become stronger. But the temple has also another dimension. The temple has a dimension of that here is an opportunity to render service to the Lord and I would say to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. This service to the mission of a great soul is really very much connected with the Dharma of us, the purpose of us, the devotional service. And I think in all of our minds there is security, not a doubt, that we feel Prabhupada is very much present and he's very, very wonderful. He picked me up from this world. The moment you do become inspired to render service to a spiritual master, great soul like Srila Prabhupada, this moment in your life is the moment which Krishna has waited for many, many lifetimes. Because Prabhupada says, this moment when someone wants to serve a great soul, that actually is tantamount. Tantamount means equal to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, meeting him. You know, we speak of love and we speak of how Krishna is sometimes so distant for us. And I'm now trying to explain how this distance, which we may feel, can be overcome by service. That is service to a great soul and service to the mission of a great soul. I became aware of this many years ago, but was reminded about this when I read in the Bhagavatam, we were in somewhere in the countryside in Serbia, I believe, Novi Sad. Yes, we were in Novi Sad. And it was Dayal Nitai who wrote me a letter. Who wrote me, and he mentioned that there is a beautiful purport. Dayal Nitai, I think I saw him. Yes. He mentioned that he was very moved by this purport. And I thought, well, I like to read. Let me find also this purport. And right. And there, a wonderful episode is described in the Bhagavatam, which describes how when you serve a great soul, you are actually empowered with the original power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me briefly tell you the background. It's about Bali Maharaj, this ambivalent leader of the Asuras, ambivalent because he was really a devotee. Bali Maharaj wanted to wage a war or make a war against the devatas who had become extremely arrogant. And he went into battle. And not only was his army totally defeated, he was killed in that battle. He was maybe a pile of ashes. So, Shukacharya, his spiritual master, found him and thought, oh, he's actually a good man. And used his, you could say, mystical potencies to revive Bali so that he got back his body. So the moment Bali Maharaj, the powerful Kshatriya, he had just died, got back his body, he understood, this is not something I can tolerate. I will go again and make a battle against the Devatas, and this time they will be defeated because I know how to defeat them. What he did is, he put his crown aside, he put everything aside, he put on the simple dhoti of a simple monk, and he went to the ashram of his spiritual master, Shukracharya, who was in the line of Bhrigu Muni, a great, great, powerful rishi. And for, I don't know how long, but for a certain amount of time, he just served him menially. Menially means with his hands. He washed his clothes, he cooked, he put some spices in the potato, I mean, potato, whatever, you know, in the sabjis, you know. He did, how do we say menial, Pavle? Yeah, praktischne is one thing, but it means a little bit more this very lowly service. Not just simple. Menial means really submissive, you know. Can I wash your feet, Govindanandan? Like this, you know, menial service. Yes, something like this. I think you have the idea. It doesn't need a word. Or ideas don't always need words. If they're... So he did this. He served washing this and cleaning this. You know, he was a Kshatriya, big muscles and a king. Then after a certain amount of time, he was ready to go into battle against the Devatas. This time he came, his army was very small. Indra, the leader of the Devatas, said, oh no, he comes again. And he looked at him, and when he just looked at Bali, he knew the battle is fought. I'm defeated. Bali looked just so strong and had so much effulgence. Effulgence? Like... Indra said, from where does he have... First of all, the body. I destroyed him. And the second is, from where does he get this power? And he went to his Guru Maharaj, Brihaspati, and asked, Devashi Narada. He asked Brihaspati, from where is this person so powerful that I have no chance to fight against him? Brihaspati said, very simple, he served his spiritual master. And it's now very interesting to read in this purport and find out what Prabhupada purports about this, writes about this. And he says in the commentary that if you are satisfying your spiritual master, you will be equipped. Equipped means you will be given the original potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, how could you make a worldwide movement with these ideas, you know, Krishna conscious ideas, selfless service to Krishna, you know, no illicit this, no illicit that, you know, how could you make a worldwide movement with this program? And he said, I didn't do anything, I just satisfied. I just try to serve my spiritual master, and Krishna's mercy. You know, Prabhupada was convinced it had nothing to do with him. So I want to introduce this principle to you now, my dear devotees from Zagreb. Please, every one of you, seriously think about how you can connect yourself with the service to Srila Prabhupada. I so much request you to do this. This is the me, and you can do this very easily through the temple. I have heard that the temple devotees have had a fantastic discussion amongst themselves, where they have planned very wonderful ideas to spread Krishna consciousness in Croatia. And I just know this. Prabhupada was so satisfied with anyone who just would spread Krishna consciousness. It was known in our times. For instance, I knew Prabhupada was especially merciful to someone who preached in the Muslim countries. So I went to Kabul. Kabul means Afghanistan. And it was very dangerous. It was at the time of, do you know Ramadan, what this is? They fast the whole day. They're so agitated from this hunger. And then they wait until, you know, when the sun sets, and then there is a cannon, and everyone goes, yoo-hoo, and eats like tons of food. And then they can't sleep in the night, and then they are totally disturbed after 1 month of, I'm speaking of the normal Muslim. The good Muslims are not like this, but the normal people are, like us Hare Krishnas also, when we fast, we eat too much afterwards, you know, it's common, it's human principles. So we got a whole school. I got a school as a temple, and I was preaching to the Hindu minority. But we wanted to also satisfy Prabhupada with some reports of preaching to Muslims. So the only way for us to, in that agitated atmosphere, to do something was marriages. So we announced ourselves. We are very talented marriage musicians. And we played bhajans before the marriage. And then we said, and now comes our best song. Please repeat after us. Hare. Louder, please. Hare. And then not you. Then Krishna. And then we taught them the mantra. And we sang the Hare Krishna mantra. And we wrote this to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada wrote us a letter. I never forget this. He must have had smiled when he wrote the letter, seeing our attempt to, in our childlike way, we were very immature, to please him. He just wrote back a letter and he said, yes, my Guru Maharaj would say, one who has got life, he can preach. So he said about us that we had some life. So it was known and is known. Prabhupada's mercy can be very easily experienced to someone who engages in the mission of helping people to come to Krishna consciousness. And I really would like to request you to think deeply where you can see your place in this. Obviously, some of you are, or most of you are in the Grihastha ashram, which is very important and glorious ashram. Others of you are students maybe, or working, and so on. But you are actually the strength of this movement, because you live there in the society, and you can help people to become fortunate. And you can also, this is a very important thing, get this tremendous strength and empowerment in your life, which will help you to rise on the spiritual platform and be fixed in your Sanatan Dharma. Hare Krishna. This is my very humble request. I'm very, very impressed with the efforts of all of you who have made this almost finished temple. It's very nice. I think we all saw during Gopunim festival how people were attracted and benefited by the program. And I really request you to now think of the second phase, how to utilize this wonderful facility to spread Krishna consciousness in Croatia. Already we have such a good name in Croatia. When I passed the borders, you know, for me it's always a little a nervous situation to pass the border, because we have so many things in our car due to preaching. You know, we are not like ordinary travelers, and we always carry tons of presents, you know, because everyone gives us presents. And I'm always thinking, oh no, what if they now stop us and they want to see all the luggage and every explanation, what is Tilak, you know. No, Tilak is not what you think it might be. It is for this, you know. And you know, it takes so much time and so on. It is So I went to the Croatian border, and they saw our car was fuller than a normal traveler car for two people. When we went to Serbia, we had been, you know, in German language you say, total gefilzt. It means they just investigated every square centimeter of our belongings. So we came to Croatia, and I saw in the person, he looked at us, and he clearly saw we are extraordinary people, and they are trained. When there's something special, they're like, you know, I don't want to compare them now to, you know, they are trained. They can smell that you're different, and maybe something is not all right. So then then he was getting ready to open the thing, you know, and then we went out, he looked at us, and he began to smile. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And he was just so happy to see us, you know. It was a good, he tried to engage in kirtan. Not like this, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. No, we didn't do like this. And you know, and then he said, Uredu, Uredu, Uredu. You go, Krishna, Krishna. Then he told the other person, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I noticed, I felt very pleased. I thought, thank you very much. We are trying to become good devotees, you know. We don't deserve your attention. But I really always thought Croatia is a very special place. And if we can use the force of all of you, and I think you need to also do something like that, because you also want to get empowered by the original potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you want to read that purport, oh, now comes the difficult part of my lecture, I have to remember numbers, but I will try. Dinadayal, you please help me. Dinadayal is the name of Krishna. The Dinadayal means he who is merciful to the fallen, and Dayalnitai means Dayalnitai. Dayal. It is 8th canto. Please, those who write things, 8th canto, 15th chapter, text 28. correct? Or you don't know at this moment? I'm sure, Andakati, you have the best handwriting. Please write it down so that devotees who like to read this. 8:15:28. So this will help you very much. Hare Krishna, I'm now finished with what I wanted to say. 28. Thank you for asking. I'm 100% sure, but I don't trust me any longer with numbers. I'm not so good in numbers, but I'm almost 100% sure. I mean, you can find it out. So I want to now see if any one of you has a question. Pavle, you have a question. Please ask your question. What did you say? How is it possible? Dobro. Please. What? Through politics? Did you say through politics? Where are the politics? Aha, through politics, as a politician. How can you serve Krishna as a politician? Are you a politician or? Just a question. Preparing? Do you want me to use my fantasy or? Prabhupada actually had disciples who made a political party which had the name of the motto of the dollar, "In God We Trust." The dollar had this model. It was the "In God We Trust" party. And they took part in elections, and the party came up in Atlanta, and they became the assistant. One devotee became the assistant of the mayor. It was local politics, in other words. And they had certain goals which they had discussed with Srila Prabhupada. And these goals were all centered around bringing spiritual principles into the society. These spiritual principles, or Prabhupada would talk about this, calling the names of the Lord, that should be done. In whatever way you know the Lord, you should do kirtan. Prabhupada said, then the crime rate will go down. Srila Prabhupada was very, very careful with not introducing something too quickly, I remember. But it was definitely on his preaching agenda to make people aware of the problems which meat eating bring. It was a great point for him, because all the violence which happens in society, Prabhupada said, is a karmic reaction to the violence which is done towards the animals. And even if he would meet the leaders of religion, he would immediately say, in your scriptures it says you shouldn't kill. Why do you kill animals? I mean, Prabhupada was not prepared to enter into a very deep spiritual discussion unless this was not put out of the way, because he thought it's so obvious. That was very much on his agenda for leaders. I'm thinking like all of you, when you bring this to the, when a politician says this, they will hang him. Especially in the land of grilling. Croatia means the land of grills, no? I'm joking, it's not only the land of grills. Or there are many, politicians can help devotees, for instance. I remember when I was at the peace conference of this group, Yoga and Daily Life. Some of you were there when I was there. And I remember Mr. Mesic is his name? Message. He had sent a letter of greeting, you know, and that helped them very, very much. They could plant a peace tree and put a plaque out, you know, some monument. Mr. Mesic seems to be a very nice person. That is what I hear when you look at his face. Nice. He met Dayamayi recently, and they had very good discussions, and he got her books and quoted from her books in some meeting and so on. He seems to be nice, and his daughters are interested in yoga and these things. Politicians can help, in other words, also devotees to do, and I think they're ready if we have something where they can get into. This is usually Kshatriyas help Brahmanas. That's the usual principle. Any other question? Andakaji. And then your name? Dharma Gupta. Dharma Rupa. Wow! The form of Dharma. I'm honored to meet you. You will be the next. Yes, sir. I can speak even when I die. I have no problem. This is the only thing I can do. But I'm all right.
I'm curious about the story you mentioned about the glories of holy name. You mentioned that you...
Yes. Thank you. I was thinking, if there's someone interested, I will speak it. It's so nice, because it makes a point that the holy name is working very subtle. You know, we had this list of 22 people who had just died, and we chanted for them, and we had the faith that the holy name would find these people wherever they are now and benefit them to progress further. And this subtle force of the holy name is very much brought out in a story from the Puranas. There was a guru who had a disciple who was a little tupko. He couldn't understand subtle spiritual points. And one day the disciple came to him and said, Guru Maharaj, you told me to chant Hare Krishna, but I can't see that this benefits anyone. It doesn't benefit Krishna and doesn't benefit me. Why should I chant? Guru Maharaj. So that his guru was a great soul who had great abilities, and he said, you will see that it is very beneficial. See this old bird there? And the disciples saw a white bird. How do we call them? They have thin legs.
Roda.
Roda, yes. So he went to the roda, and it was amazing. The roda allowed the monk to come very close, and then he said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. After he had finished, the roda looked at him with big eyes, fell down and died. He immediately went back to his guru and said, I can't see how this benefits anyone, this chanting. I told him, I've just killed a bird with it. No. You go to a tele. There's just a newborn calf. And you chant and you will see. So in good faith, he again went to the calf and he said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. When he was finished, the calf looked at him and died. He went back to his guru and told him what had happened, and again he went. The guru said, no, there is the son of the king. This time you will know the potency of the holy name and how beneficial it is. He is just born. You tell the king that I sent you, and because he has such high respect for me, he will allow you to chant to his newborn son. Okay, this is really the last time. So he went. The king, what do you wish? I want to see your son and chant an auspicious mantra. Okay, this is the son of the king. Who sent you? My Guru Maharaj, so and so. Oh, good. So he brought him in. There was a little child. So slatki. But the disciple had become very careful. He very carefully said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. He just whispered. The son looked at him and died. The king was totally shocked. He said, what? You have killed my freshly born child? He's so fresh. He called the soldiers and told him, bring him before the town and just hang him. Hang him slowly. So the disciple said, I know. Now I have to die. Now just when he was turning away from the dead boy, he saw a brilliant personality coming out of the body of the little child. And this personality said, voila, voila, Puno, you have saved me. I am a heavenly being and I was cursed because I did a mistake to take 3 births. Now you have delivered me from this curse, but you have done it 3 times. First you delivered me when I was in the body of a bird. Then I came in the body of a little calf. You saved me from this calf life. Then I came in the body of the son of the king, and you have saved me again. I'm so grateful. What can I give to you? Disciple was totally shocked and overwhelmed. The king said, now I understand. I'm sorry. This was something else. And he went to his spiritual master and he told him, the spiritual master said, yes, I knew that there was a soul who was cursed. And I wanted to show you the power of the holy name. The power of the holy name is working very subtle. It works in very subtle ways. I remember there was once a lecture which Prabhupada gave, and there was someone who attacked him publicly with words, not with the body. He said, "What good is the chanting of the holy name?" It was a man who was dressing as a sorcerer. Do you know what is a sorcerer? Harry Potter, you know. Yeah. He was a black person, Zirne. Prabhupada looked at him, said, "The chanting saves you from hell." Prabhupada was very direct in his preaching. So this person was saved from a curse in my Puranic story. No? We are not people who are hellish people. I mean, this is not the point. But the point here is that the chanting of the holy name is very subtly. We can chant for someone, it will find that soul who has died and elevate him. It's very, very subtle. We can't understand it so with our gross material senses, and also not with our gross material, logic. It's not possible. Hare Krishna. Our last question for this evening is posed by the form of Dharma.
You mentioned that we have to develop relation with Krishna. And we don't know this person. We heard from Shastras, from Puranas, from Vedas about Krishna, but we don't know him like a person. I understand like this. So, Bhaktivedanta Swami in his books said that Krishna is person. And if we serve him, he will give us mercy and blessings and so on and so on. But sometimes devotees pray Krishna for something material, and then Krishna gave the devotees. And it could be also good and not good for our spiritual development. So, I would like to know what we have to desire Krishna, for some spiritual things. Mostly of devotees, as I see, pray Krishna for something material. And like you mentioned, good husband, good wife, and so on and so on.
What should we pray for? Prabhupada taught us to pray for pure devotional service. Why? Because we are servants. This is our original position in relationship to Krishna. We are servants. Pure devotional service. That's the safest thing to pray for. I suggest, so that your prayer becomes real and comes from the heart, that you study a little bit pure devotional service. What does it mean? Why is it natural? Why is it my original position to be a pure servant? And when you have this type of prayer, you can certainly pray it. Because we are a little in Maya. We have no taste. But we also have a very mundane concept of what, when we hear service, oh no, we think. I remember when I heard service for the first time, I thought, for this you have servants. You don't need to do it. Service. But when we enter the spiritual world of Krishna consciousness, Dharma Rupa, we have to learn that sometimes the words mean something else than we think they mean. There was this blind man who had never seen milk, and she couldn't see, so he heard from many people that milk is so good for brain cells and all of that. And he desired to drink milk and asked some friends to explain first what is milk. And friends said it has a white color. What is a white color? Said the blind man. Well, it is like the feathers of a, what was the bird? Rodan. What is a rode? His friend thought, well, he's a blind man, he has to feel everything. So he said, he made this sign and he said, please touch my hand, then you know what is a rode. You know, my arm. The blind man said, I don't want to drink milk because it gets stuck in my throat. Yes, stuck. You know, when you gulp, so sometimes when we are trying to understand spiritual things, we we have this problemski that we have a wrong understanding. I know that there might be other questions, but I see it as a scandalously late time. Is this true? It's 10 minutes before 10. Good boys and girls have to go to bed early. I'm joking. I believe it's a good time to stop, otherwise it gets too late for some of us. I thank you very, very much. I must say, I spent a wonderful time here in Zagreb, meeting all of you. I wish you all the best, and I will certainly see you soon. I know already now that I will be able to come for sure for the Croatian summer camp near Rijeka or wherever it will be held. It looks likely it will be there. So please all come, then we can spend more time together. And please keep some of the things in your mind. I sometimes feel that as devotees who come to lectures regularly, like you all do, some of you have every day 2 lectures. Yeah? Morning and evening class. It's a lot. But what really stays in your mind? And what stays in your life of the things you hear? Those things stay in your life and in your mind which you either repeat to others. I heard this point, it was very good. Let me tell you. Or, what else stays in your mind? That which you practice, or little side, a little trick, if you make notes, then whatever you read before 2 days have gone, that might also stay a little in your mind. But especially those things which you talk to others, and those things which you practice in your life, they stay with you. The other things, Kali Yuga will go as if you pour water in a sifter. Sifter? What is sifter? Sipa, yes, this sounds correct. The sipa, what a good word. Sipa, yes. Okay, so I wish you a good night, Lakunoj, and Hare Krishna! Krishna, Krishna.